Our study this morning is going to center around a passage in Exodus chapter 20 at verse 4. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in the heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water or in the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. Our God is not represented by an image. Our God is a spirit. And if we are to worship Him, we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. In Isaiah chapter 44, we have a passage that talks about what an idol is. And you may have seen idols, and you may say, well, are those things really idols? Verse 14 says, surely he cuts cedars for himself and takes a cypress or an oak and raises it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a fir and the rain makes it grow. Then it becomes something for a man to burn, so he takes one of them and warms himself. He also makes fire to break bread. He also makes a god and worships it. He makes it a graven image and falls down before it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over this half he eats meat as he roasts a roast and is satisfied. He also warms himself saying, aha, I'm warm. I've seen the fire. But the rest of it he makes into a god, his graven image. He falls down before it and worships. He also prays to it and he says, deliver me, for thou art my God. They do not know, nor do they understand, for he has smeared over their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot comprehend. And no one recalls, nor is there any knowledge or understanding to say, I have burned half of it in the fire, and have also break bread over its coals. I roast meat and eat it, then I make the rest of it into an abomination. I fall down before a block of wood. He feeds on ashes, a deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver himself nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? The man falls down before an image and confesses, deliver me, for thou art my God. But as you look at that, there's more to idol worship than simply falling down before an image. When someone believes that the idol represents their God, then they worship the idol. And people will tell you as you look at one of their images, they'll say, well, that's not my God. It just represents my God. So when I pray before the image, I do not pray to the image, but to God. And Exodus chapter 32, I want you to read carefully with me. When Moses has gone up on the mount, and the people are despairing that he will ever come down, and so they are upset. They want a God. They can't see the one to whom Moses speaks. They want a visual image. And as we begin reading, it says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Aaron said to them, tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. Then all the people tore off the gold rings which are in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. I want you to pay particular attention to that saying that they did there. This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. They knew that wasn't even existing when they came out of the land of Egypt. They were already outside. And so the golden calf just represented their God. They wanted something they could see. That still occurs around the world today. It is especially prevalent in the Catholic Church. It is prevalent, though, in other countries as they worship idols. In Exodus chapter 32 at verse 6, it says, after they've gotten this idol, what did they do? The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And I'm reminded of what people do in many churches today. Oh, we have come here to eat and drink, and we are rising up to play. They may have dance teams. They may have praise teams. What are they doing? It is part of the idol worship that these people were giving to the golden calf that Aaron had made. And so as you think about this idol, it represents what brought good fortune to someone in their mind. You'll see many sports players that'll have a favorite jersey or something. If I wear this, I will succeed. That's an idol. You'll see people who have a lucky rabbit's foot. And you always wonder what the rabbit thought about that. But as you think about it, there are people who say, oh, this is my good luck charm. Or this is my favorite charm. When I wear this, I win, or I'm fortunate. Whether they think the wood or golden item itself brought good fortune, or whether it represents what brought good fortune, it is nevertheless the worship of an idol. And so we need to understand what this idol worship is. The Baltimore Catechism is not used anymore as a teaching tool, but when I was first studying, I got a copy of it because I wanted to know what the Catholics believed. It had what's called the imprimatur, that is, the official stamp of approval by the Catholic Church, and it was used to teach in Catholic churches, Catholic schools and churches, from 1885 until the late 1960s. It was the authority, and what it was is a series of questions. And as I read through this, I had been told by preachers this occurred, and I wondered about it myself, so I got my own copy and I read. And surely enough, under the question of what are the Ten Commandments, the Baltimore Catechism differs from the Bible because it omits the passage that we've just read about thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. It wasn't even taught. They didn't want people thinking it was wrong to worship an image. So to make Ten Commandments and leave this one out, they took the last one, the tenth, and they separated it between those things that were coveted. As we read from verse 17 of Exodus 20, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. Okay, that's one. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Oh, that's a different one. Or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. They literally took the scriptures and they fixed it so the verse that they didn't like wasn't there, because they knew it condemned their practices. And so as we think about this, someone who is truly honest is going to look at that and they're going to realize that something dishonest occurred and their faith is built on a falsehood. Worshiping idols is an abomination to the Lord. And very often they say, we don't worship that idol of Mary over there, that statue of Mary, as they'll put it. And of course it varies from country to country. A friend of mine went down to Guadalajara and he came back and he was horrified. He said, I saw peasants crawling across the plaza on their knees, such that by the time they got to Our Lady statue, a golden statue, their knees were bleeding, and they would drop a coin in for something that they wanted to occur. And he just couldn't believe that there was a culture so backward that that would occur. And yet, it's widely prevalent in the world. Matthew chapter 15, 8, Jesus said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. I want us to think seriously about that. Do you realize that what Jesus has said here, quoting from the Old Testament, what Jesus has said of the Jews concerning their worship to God, that they were worshiping Him with their lips, but they weren't doing what they said they believed. We've just celebrated the Lord's Supper. And in it we give thanks to the Lord for His death on the cross, to our Father in heaven for having given the sacrifice of His Son. And the question we always have to ask ourselves, it's an individual question. It's one for you. It's not one for me to answer. It's one for each of us to answer. Do I really mean that? Does it really mean something to me? Am I going to make certain that I am going to be there in order to proclaim the Lord's death until He comes? Do I really believe that He's going to come and He's going to take me home to heaven when I die? And the answer should be a resounding yes. But then we're told in 1 Corinthians 11 that we need to examine ourselves. And we need to look at our life over the past week. We need to think about, have we been showing in our lives the world that we believe that Jesus is the Christ? You know, there are times when you'll get up and just by your very actions, people will know that you believe in God. But when you start looking at idols, the Jews from the time of the giving of the Ten Commandments to the time of the Babylonian captivity had the same problem as the Roman Catholic Church. The Hindus, the pagans, and a lot of people who call themselves Christians today, they worship idols. And as you think about, well, I'm going to put that away, it's a keepsake. And you say, wait a minute, what is it for? How will I explain this to my children if they should see it? Back to Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 14. Think about this. He cuts cedars for himself and takes a cypress or an oak and raises it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a fir and the rain makes it grow. Then it becomes something for man to burn. You have seen people fall down before idols. You've seen them erected in places of worship. From time to time, they will not even take this. We were in Hawaii one time at a blowhole where the sea rushes in and it hits this little cave. And as it does, the water rushes up and blows up. And the ancient pagans thought that that was a holy place. And sure enough, as we went over there, someone had built a little idol out of rocks. And then they had put some offerings in front of it. And I thought, you know, that's truly incredible. Hawaii is a wealthy state, and you think, why would someone here believe that setting some little rocks up in front of this place where God has provided something that all the tourists want to go see, you know, it'll shoot water sometimes 60 feet in the air. Depends on how big the wave is when it hits. And I'm sure that each one of us would look there and say, how silly that is. Why would we depend upon that little... These little rocks are about this size, but they'd laid food. They'd laid offerings there. He also makes a god and worships it. He makes a graven image and falls down before it. You know, as we think about that passage, no one recalls nor is there knowledge or understanding to say, I burned half of it in the fire and have also baked bread over its coals. I roast meat and eat it. Then I make the rest of it into an abomination. I fall down before a block of wood. And I'm thinking, as Isaiah says that, he's thinking, have you ever seen anything really stupid? That's about as dumb as you can get. Why would you set up a block of wood and fall down to worship it? It's a block of wood. You took the other half, all the shavings. You know what happened to the shavings of those idols that people make? Well, these days, if they make them in a plant in the United States, they have to have a vacuum over there that'll pick them up. Especially if they start sanding on them, because all that sawdust has got to be collected. It's got to be gotten out of the workplace. And they burn it. It's waste. It's worthless. And yet people say, because that looks like something. Have you ever seen something on the internet where someone said, I saw this, and they'll have a saint. Or a god, they'll say, I saw Jesus. Now, out in West Texas, where I grew up, there are no trees, not many at least. And so people see it on the sides of the petroleum storage tanks. There was one over in Lubbock. These people, oh, I saw this image on this, and people are going out at dusk to look at this image on the side of an oil storage tank. Of course, if you get someplace where they got some wood, well, they'll say, or Do you know there was a potato that looked like Mother Teresa that they decided that they would sell on eBay? And then somebody, this is highly, you know, you look at this and you think, do people really do this? Yeah, they sold a cheese sandwich. And you sit there and say, you know, I fell down before a block of wood. I mean, this is Isaiah looking at it. And something that we need to always remember, brethren, is God can know the future. But that block of wood doesn't know anything. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 7, who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order from the time that I established the ancient nation. And let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. One of the things that I do when I start teaching people that there is a God and that he reveals himself in the Bible is I go to the Bible and I say, see what God said hundreds of years before it happened. God knew. The Bible, you know, every once in a while somebody say, oh, the Bible, you know. Why do you take that? I've studied some of the other books, portions of them. And as you look at them, you say, well, as I start stacking the knowledge of the world that is contained in the books, and I'm going to place the Bible, I'll put it on the right-hand side here. And I'm going to look at all the evidences that are there. And then against it, I'll array all the evidences from all these other books. And if I take just the passages that talk about evidences that are true, that show that the books are true, you know what I have on the left-hand side? Nothing but junk. And what I have on the Bible is I have scripture after scripture that will tell you about how God planned for a nation, how he planned to deliver them from the diseases, how he planned hundreds of years in advance to deliver them from evil. And then I compare over here and I say, well, what do the Vedas have to say about this? Verse 22 again of chapter 41 of Isaiah. Let them bring forth and declare to us what is going to take place. As for the former events, declare what they were, that we may consider them and know their outcome, or announce to us what is coming. Declare the things that are going to come afterward, that we may know that you are gods, indeed, do good or evil, that we may anxiously look about us and fear together. Behold, you are of no account, and your work amounts to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. You know, if you go to Europe now, you'll find that the people have given up on God, because at one time they were taught that God resided in these idols. And then they fought wars with each other about these things, and they found out that God wasn't in those idols, and he wasn't in their church buildings either, because they had defied what God had to say as they warred against each other. He who chooses you is an abomination. And you'll find that there's very little belief in Europe in God. But you know, when Jesus came to this earth, he foretold the destruction of the temple. Matthew chapter 24, he answered and said to them, Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here shall be left upon another which will not be torn down. They were incredulous. Don't you know how long it took 40 years to build this place? Don't you know what great works have gone into building this temple? And yet, in 70 AD, the temple was torn down. The army of the Romans encamped out there. And the temple that Herod had finished, the roof was covered with gold. Now, when I say that, until I went over, I really didn't understand this. I saw King Tut's sarcophagus in a museum in Egypt. I don't know if it's still there or not. When I was there, it was there. It's about the size of one car garage. Okay? And it was covered with gold leaf. And, you know, I had always imagined, well, the temple, there couldn't be that much gold up there. They weren't that good at making gold leaf. It's not like what's on one of your picture frames. It was between a 16th and a 32nd inch thick. They'd beaten this stuff, you know. And that's what they had on the roof of the temple. They literally had tons of gold up there on the roof of that temple. Gold is heavy. I was down in Florida one time, and I went to one of those wrecks, and they used to let you put your hand in there and raise a gold bar. I understand some people started scraping it off with their fingernails or a knife. They'd stick it in there. They didn't like that, so they sort of stopped it. But at any rate, you pick up a gold bar, and it's very, very heavy. The fire consumed the interior of the temple. It was made out of rock, but they had all these claws in there. In fact, the felt cloth between that separated the Holy of Holies was 6 inches by 60 feet by 40 feet. And you say, wow, that's a lot of fabric to go up in flame. And it got hot. You know what the Roman armies did? The commander said, I want the gold. Go plow the Temple Mount and you sift the dirt to find the gold and bring it back. It was the end of the Jewish religion. They can no longer offer sacrifices. In fact, our guide who was there said, no, back there on that end, that's where they think the Holy of Holies is, so nobody can go back there. They won't even let the archaeologists go back there to look to see if that's where it was. They just think, well, that's probably where it is, and nobody can go on that. They can't fulfill the Jewish religion because the temple had been destroyed, and Jesus foretold it. About 40 years before it happened, those people just, no, couldn't happen. No. When you think about that, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, they wanted to go offer idols, go offer worship to idols in the temple of God. He said, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to get the things out that are in his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. Jesus is giving warning to these people through a prophecy. Those who were Christians, it is said, heeded his words. For he says at verse 21, there will be a great tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now nor ever shall. And unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be cut short. Josephus, the historian, records that at the siege of Jerusalem, that food was so scarce that people ate their children, and that the head of a donkey was worth much gold. And you start thinking about this and you say, how could they get so low? And yet it is said, again, that those who paid attention to the writings of Matthew left the city. We can't be sure of this. They didn't leave us records that said this is how many were saved. But I will tell you, the Roman armies drew back. They came up to the walls of Jerusalem and then they drew back. And that's when they said the people started to flee the city while they could get out. Why would people continue to believe in idols? Why not believe in something that you can read evidence of in the scriptures? Why would they believe that something they make would bring honor to God? I'm reminded of a fellow who calls us on the radio. He evidently is a good musician or not. But he thinks that we ought to, he says, I have a talent. I have a talent and it ought to be used in glory to God. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by humans' hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. And he made from one every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitations. Very often we think, we are mankind, we'll go forth and conquer the stars. And I still remember the science fiction from when I was young and how many of the things I used to watch that stuff, I was really enthralled. Look what we can possibly do. And then I got enough science under my belt to understand that, that was all the dreamings of some old men who had hoped that there was something besides God, that they would go out and that they would conquer the worlds that were out there. And there are still people who make up stories about doing just that. But when you realize that the God of heaven has made a very special place for us here on this earth, He's made a place that is just abounding with good things for us. The Lord God who made the world and all things in it. He does not dwell in a temple made with hands. This building is not His sanctuary. You, in your heart, provide the sanctuary of God. It is you as you determine to follow Him. He made from one. You know, the King James Version right there says one blood. Do you realize that early in World War II, they knew they needed to give soldiers transfusions. But they didn't know enough about blood to know whether or not they could give a black man's blood to a white soldier. Now they know. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. It matters what your blood type is. But at the time, they didn't know one blood. Have you ever heard the nobility called blue bloods? If you start thinking about this passage right here, you see enough evidence right there. How did they know He made from one blood all nations? Yellow, black, and white. They're all from one. You know, you can sit there, He made from one. We all came from Adam. And we, as we go into the world, need to remember that we are not above the world because we are Americans. Those of us who are Christians need to realize that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, not just for us here in America, but for the whole world. There's evidence in the Scriptures of God's revelation to man. Used to have a neighbor that had a statue of Mary in the garden. Why would you dishonor the God of heaven? There are people like my cousin. I've got a cousin, and we have some Indian lineage. I don't know about on her side of the family, but I do know her husband has, he's about a half Indian. And they go out to these religious ceremonies where they do silly things in order to attract the attention of the Great Spirit. They appeal to the spirits of the trees. And you sit there and you think, do these people not realize that we burn those things? You think the spirit's in the tree and you just go out and you just chop one down, and what happens to the spirit? They dishonor God. There are people who track their zodiac signs. Do you know one of the biggest things that people buy newspapers for is to read their daily horoscope? You've got to be kidding me. Honoring the divining of the future by horoscopes based on whether they're Capricorn or Taurus, they dishonor God. Isaiah again, chapter 44, verse 17, the rest that He makes into a god, His graven image. He falls down before it and worships. He also prays to it and says, deliver me, for Thou art my God. Can you imagine some man thinking that some asteroid hurling through space has some effect on you? Now I realize there are gravitational forces, and somebody said, well, yeah, there are effects. Not that are going to be good or bad or indifferent. Unless it hits the earth, if that's how God decides to set the place on fire, that's one thing. But you need to remember that as you look at your zodiac sign, it's idolatry. Who can deliver you from the sin that covers all men? The only one that can deliver you is Jesus, who overcame death, that you might be redeemed. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 says, for by this will we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. But He, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. What are you waiting for? Have you been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in order that you might be redeemed by His blood? What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins. If there's any way we can help you, won't you let us know as together we stand and we sing.